Call your attention to Paul's writing to the Ephesians, the second chapter. And I'll read verses 4 through 8. The second chapter of Ephesians, the Bible reads beginning at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Supporting scripture this morning coming from the 15th chapter of Acts, the 11th verse that you've already heard in your hearing, where the Bible reads, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. On the basis of those verses, we like to use the thought of subject this morning: mercy plus grace equals salvation. Mercy plus grace equals salvation. We have to understand this morning that he's God and there is no other like God. Can't nobody do you like God. And if the truth be told, if it had not been for God, the reality is we wouldn't even exist. But because God created us and because God loves us, we are here this morning. And despite ourselves, despite where we come from or what we've gone through, we are all able to say, I'm still here. I'm thankful that God has blessed me. I'm thankful that God has looked beyond my faults and saw a need to bless my very soul. I thank God because there are times when I don't know what to do, but God has a way of revealing to us through his Spirit that I'm with you. Isn't it a wonderful thing, the reality of knowing that God keeps his promises? When God said, I'll go with you all the way even to the end of the world, you can look around and God is right there. You can look and find out on your weakest moments, in those days when it seems like you don't have any strength, you can still just muster just enough to say, Lord, I just want to thank you for the strength that I do have. I want to thank the Lord God for being our God and for allowing us another chance to come and to lift up his holy name. All of us this morning can rejoice and be glad that God has blessed us. And that blessing have allowed us to come together one more time. And as we come together, we know that life in itself is full of uncertainties. Every day something happens to somebody. And the sad thing is that when we listen to the news or we watch and we read the newspaper, we find that most of the things that are reported are always the bad things. I know that there's some good things happening in the world and there's some good things happening to the people of God, but it's always broadcast the bad things, the murderers and the wrecks and everything that makes you feel downhearted, and some things make you feel like giving up hope. And even those that have been praying and trusting and striving to be more like Christ, they will find that the society tends to make you feel like it's all in vain, because everybody wants to walk around with the head hung down. Everybody want to have a pity party. But isn't it time to just stop having a pity party? It is what it is. If you got it, you got it. If you don't have it, you don't have it. If you need it, you got to trust that the God that you serve will give you what you need when you need it. There are a lot of things that we don't have, but you may not have them because you don't need them. But the Bible that I read said, my God says to plow all of my needs according to his riches and glory. God is not shortchanged. God is not running out. And God is not having a famine. Every one of us in here have been blessed by the best, and God continues to bless us despite ourselves. There's not an individual in here that can't say that God has not been good to you. And when you begin to think about how good God has been, it ought to break your heart the way that we do God. We sit around like God owes us something. We act like we're doing God a favor because I decided to be in ministry. I decided to preach a message. I decided to sing a song. I decided to walk up and down the aisle and usher people into the house of God and help them to find a comfortable place to sit. But you ought to do something for the blessing that God had bestowed upon you. Did not David say, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits towards me? What shall I render unto the Lord? Not to Cain, not to Foul Shapper, but what can I give back to God for all the things that God has done for me? Now, that individual that listened to the enemy will start reminding you of your bad days. The enemy will remind you of those things that you just couldn't get right. The enemy always making you feel like you're in it all by yourself and don't nobody care about you. But I come to help you this morning to let you know that enemy is nobody but the devil, and you got to tell the devil where to get off at. You got to put the devil behind you, and every now and again, put him up under your feet. You got to have courage enough to speak up against the enemy and tell the enemy you don't have no place here. Even when sickness attack your body, you got to call on the name of a loving God. Anybody in here ever been down on the bed of affliction? And as you laid there, you weren't thinking about what they were doing over on the other side of the track. You were calling on the name of the Lord. There comes a time when God gets your attention. You can't do nothing but call on God. I believe when David said, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. You better know where your help come from. I don't care if you got mama, daddy, grandma, and grandpa. Their help come from the same God that yours come from. I don't care where it seems like your blessings are coming from. All your blessings come from the Lord our God. I thank God, because as we talked about that angel on last week that woke up Peter just before it was ever too late, I thank God that he got some angels watching over us right now. Anybody glad that angel touched you this morning? Anybody glad that angel watched over you all week long? We done went from one week to another week, and we had some up days and some down, some good days and some bad days. But in the midst of it all, God has still been God. Anybody in here got joy down in their heart? Anybody glad to be able to say, I'm a child of the King? I'm just glad this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. Just to be in the house of the Lord one more time. And after getting here, we ought to pray to the Lord our God. In fact, before we got here, we should have been praying. That's what another thing we talked about last week. Every now and again, we need corporate prayer. All of us got to get on one accord, and we got to start talking to the Lord our God. We got to have purpose in our life. We got to ask God to pray one for another that God will bless us. Not only bless us, but bless this country in which we live in. Somebody got to accept the fact that we don't have all of the answers, but we're all made from the same dust of the ground. We belong to the same God, and God has no respect of persons. I believe that we serve a God that loves every one of us. When I read the Bible says Jesus died for us all. And every one of us are part of the body of Christ. Many members, but yet one body. And if there ever was a time that we need the whole body to be praying and sincerely praying, it's right now. All of us need God. All of us, we are just one step away from the grave. And when we hit the grave, then we are waiting on that blessed day when the Lord calls us up to meet him in the air. But we got to understand that before we do all of that, we're going to have to stand before the judgment seat of a just God. And when you stand before God, you're not going to be able to point the finger. You're not going to be able to pass the buck. See, a whole lot of us like to blame somebody else because of what we don't have. A lot of us like to blame other folk because we don't love everybody. We act like it's because somebody didn't speak to you. You got to treat everybody wrong. You got to learn how to learn how to love in the midst of your trials. You got to learn how to love when it seems like don't nobody want to love you back. You got to understand that you got to give an account of the things that you do in your own life. We got to allow ourselves to go back and be that village that God is looking for to help raise our children. We got to understand that our children need to be in an environment where there's spirit and the power of good. We got to be in an environment sometimes where they can know that God is real. Have your child ever heard you pray? You shouldn't always pray in secret. Because when you got little children in the midst, you got to teach them how to pray. You got to let them understand that you don't have to have it all together to talk to your God. You got to let them know at an early age that there are times when mom and dad is not going to be there, but I want to introduce you to somebody called God. God is the one that teach them that God made them. Teach them that God is the one that gives them their strength day by day. Teach them that God is the one that allowed his only begotten son called Jesus the Christ to die for your sins and for our sins. Let them know that, oh yes, the little things that you got is only by the glory of a loving God, because God bless me, I'm able to bless you. And so you got to let them know that as we go from one generation to the next, we got to teach them about the love of a loving God. We got to know that the God that I'm talking about, he commanded us to love one another. For the word of God said, a new commandment that I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. See, we are always talking about love, and we give it a good talk, but we just don't do the right thing. Anybody in here ever wonder where love's gone? Everybody talking about love, but nobody act like they got real love. We're living in a time where folk are cold now. So we see that the Bible is fulfilling itself right before our eyes. The love of our loved ones have grown so cold to where families don't even love like they used to. Anybody realize that you don't have friends like what you used to have? There used to be a time when you had a friend and your friend would go with you all the way to the end. But now your friend is there when you up and your friend is gone when you down. Your friend is there when you got a couple of dollars in your pocket. Your friend is gone when you're broke. But how many of you want to have that friend that when I don't have nothing, Brother Hope, you can still walk with me? I want to have that kind of friend when I'm down and out, that you know something about the power of a loving God and you can talk to God on my behalf. Anybody got that kind of friend that even though you stumble and fall sometimes, you don't criticize them and put your finger down on them, but you start to pray to the Lord our God? Anybody got a friend that they know that if I got a trouble in my life, my friend is going to be right there? What a friend we have in Jesus. Too many folk going through the motions. Don't have the kind of love that we ought to have. People don't love in the church like they ought to. Don't we testify about it? Most of us testify about it. Because ain't no way in the world you can love everybody and then speak to that individual sitting right beside you. Love will make you open up your mouth. Love will make you forget about the fact that we had some problems last month, but it's all right now because I'm going to let my yesterday be yesterday, and I'm going to thank God for today. Anybody in here want to let go of some mess? If you want to be blessed, you better let that mess alone. Worst of all, we don't even love ourselves. Used to be a time that we had self-respect. had dignity. We had a mindset that I want to at least try to do the right thing. Now we're living in a time where folk feel like I'll do what I want to do and you better not say anything to me. But I come to tell you this morning that there's something that's going to get your attention. I'm so glad that we serve a God that will bless us and you don't have to be sick. I serve a God that will bless you and you don't have to be one of those that out on the corner saying that I'm homeless. I serve a God this morning that blesses us in the midst of our own insecurities, in our own messes that we make, in the holes that we dig for ourselves. I serve a God that is looking at us in the hole, waiting on us to look up to the hills and call on his holy name and extended his arm down. But we are too lazy to reach up and say, God, help me out of this mess. What we want to do is sit there and wait on somebody else to come and pull us up out of our little mess and then help us along the way. Every now and again, you got to stand on your own. You're killing good folk. For a few moments, look at these words that are very important. They have significant meaning to believers and Christians. Mercy. The aspect of God's love that causes him to have compassion on the most miserable. Whether one has broken the law or whether it's something that's beyond one's control. So when we say that God is a merciful God, that mercy is a compassion that God blesses and gives to us that in a real bad position or place in our life. Have you ever been in a position where you just really don't know what to do? And it seemed like the more you try to move forward, every step you take forward, the enemy keep pulling you back. And so you've gone through this to the point to where now you are miserable because it seemed like every time I turn around, something else is right there on my plate. If it's not physical things, it's material things that are necessities in our way of life. So now, I thank God because he is a merciful God, and the mercy that God shows us is a love and a compassion on what we call misery. Now, grace, the unmerited favor of God toward man that's received in spite of what the person may deserve.
That's right.
We find it easy to say by grace are we saved. But are we worthy of God's grace? Most of us were taught at an early age, right and wrong. If we've been in anybody's church house, we learned at an early age that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So now, when we began to think about God's grace, the unmerited favor of God, meaning that you can't do anything to buy God's goodness. It's not because of your works. It's not because of your tithes and your offerings. It's not because of whatever ministries that you are a part of. If you say that you are saved by the grace of God, then that is God's favor towards you when you don't even deserve it. Well, why don't you deserve it? You don't deserve it because of the mere fact that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You don't deserve it because you have a judgmental mindset about the people of God. Because anybody ever seen somebody that nobody's right but them? And we live with double standards. We live with the standard that, girl, I can do like I want to do, but I'm going to tell you what you're supposed to do. It don't work like that. All unrighteousness is sin. Salvation. The deliverance from the power of sin. Salvation could also be defined as redemption. So now we got to understand this morning when we talk about loving God, we got to know that all of us need God's salvation. Mercy plus grace equals salvation. But now, in order for us to put one in one to get two, and two in one to get three, we got to understand, we got to backtrack a little bit and find out that why do I need the mercy of God? And I thank God for your grace. And without your grace and your mercy, I am most miserable and I am lost. So now, how do we fix this matter? The Bible says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, because we have to understand that if you say that you got grace and you don't have faith, then you don't have it. Because in order for your grace to work, you got to have faith in God. So you got to understand that if you're going to say that I got grace, then I also want to say that I got faith in the power of a loving God. And the Bible said that if the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Didn't say I had to speak in tongues. Didn't say I had to run around the church. Didn't say I had to turn a somersault. Didn't say I had to act a fool in the house of God. But the Bible said that if I want to be saved, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your own heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, I see where it says here, for with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you got to open up that mouth of yours and confess those faults of yours and believe that the God that you serve is able. For the scripture said, whosoever.
Come on.
Preacher. The Bible says, whosoever believeth in him, oh God. The Bible tells us that you don't have to be a Jew to be saved. The Bible says even though that white may think that they're superior, that you don't have to be white to be saved. And we don't have a monopoly of it. You don't have to be black to be saved. We don't have it going on just because we got Holy Ghost in our church. There's some white churches that got the Holy Ghost. There's a Hispanic church down there that got the Holy Ghost.
Come on, preacher.
But they that believe, the Bible says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. So now, Paul says, all of us were dead in trespasses and sin. There was a time when you walked according to the prince of the power of the air. The other word, Paul said, you were being led by the enemy. Before you were able to say that you were a believer, you were doing your own thing. You were walking and doing the things as same as the children that were being disobedient to the word of God. The Bible said that among whom also we had our conversation in times past, the lust of our flesh, the fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath.
That's right.
Even as others. That's right. So now, what make you better than anybody else? What make your folk better than my folk? Every family in here got somebody that's done some right and done some wrong. Everybody in here have deep lived their lives and been in the darkness at one time or another. Everybody in here found out that I wasn't living like the Lord wanted me to live. But when I look at verse 4, Evelyn is saying, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us. The Bible says even when we were dead in sin, he quickened us together with Christ. For by grace ye are saved. So when we were in the worst of our mess, Christ was still in the midst of our mess, waiting on us to confess and to let him on board. The Bible says that in ages to come, he would show his exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. See, I'm trying to get you to understand this morning that if your testimony is that you're saved, I just want you to know that you're not saved because of self-effort.
That's right.
I want you to know that you're not saved because you don't lie anymore. You're not saved because you put down the bottle. You're not saved because you don't run around and whoremonger anymore. You're only saved because you believe in the blood of the Lamb. For the Bible said, for by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, for it is the gift of God. But I want to let you know that there are some folk that don't want you to have salvation. Some folk want you to think that unless you do it my way, you're not going to have true salvation. But I just stopped by to let somebody know that it's all about the power of a loving God. It doesn't matter whether or not you've been circumcised or not. It does not matter whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. For the Bible declares that every man and every woman born from the dust of the ground and the breath of God of life is in their bodies. If they trust the power of a loving God, they better know that the Lord God will do what nobody else can do. I just stopped by to tell somebody that the apostles found out that it was all about the Lord. You can't allow nobody to tell you what you don't have. There's some folk that say you don't have nothing, and they say that you don't have Jesus down on the inside. But how many are glad to know that the joy that you have down on the inside, the world didn't give it to you, and the world can't take it away. I just stopped by to tell somebody that the Lord God knows your heart. He knows everything that you've been going through. And I want to let you know this morning that if you got salvation, if you say that I'm saved and I'm a child of the King, I've been saved by the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God towards me. I looked over my life this morning and I realized that it's by through the grace of God that I have not morning. It's by the grace of God that I know everything is going to be all right. I've fallen short in my life, but the grace of God has always been right there. I want to let you know that mercy and grace is equal salvation. If you want to have salvation, you better know something about grace. If you want to have salvation, you better know something about mercy. Anybody glad that God is a merciful God? Anybody glad that God is a forgiving God? For when I look over my track record, there were times when I was out of the will of God, but God looked beyond my fault. Am I talking to anybody in the house? Was there ever a time in your life when you were down and out, didn't know how you were going to get out that hole, but the Lord God had grace and he showed mercy on you? He lent a helping hand, told you everything is going to be all right. Hold on to my unchanging hand. Is there anybody here that love God with all of your heart? I want to let you know that you're not saved by your own self, but you're saved by the grace of God. I thank my God for the Bible declares His grace is sufficient. It'll clean you up. It'll keep you up. It'll make a way out of no way. God's grace. That's what saved me. The grace of a loving God. Oh, my God. Have mercy on me. Have mercy. Have mercy. Is there anybody in the house that needs God in your life? All you got to do is call on it. Trust in it. And know that the Lord will be there. Grace plus mercy equals salvation. And if you're saved, you're saved because of grace and mercy. That's the only way that you can claim salvation. So, those of us that are walking around with the big head, thinking that we're all that in a bag of chips, somebody need to bust the air out your bag. Have you found out that once you get the air out and get it opened up, it's little than nothing in the bag? So you blow yourself on up. But when somebody let the air out, you, they'll see you're not much of nothing.